The word today is Armageddon. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Perhaps you have heard the name Armageddon. It is a ruin today, but was once an armed city in ancient Israel. Why is it important? Revelation tells us it is the location for the last battle on earth between God and all the wicked human nations. It sounds scary, but if you understand it properly, it is comforting to those who believe in Jesus. Here to discuss this important topic further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Armageddon.
Sadly, warfare is going to be a part of human existence until the return of Christ. For thousands of years, people have not been able to get along and have coveted and hated one another and so have launched into conflict, even race against race, tribe against tribe. Perhaps the ultimate illustration or image of warfare is found in Revelation chapter 16. It's a location in Israel called Armageddon. There's only one verse that lists it by name. It's Revelation 16, verse 16. It's talking about this final warfare between God and the forces of evil. And it simply says in verse 16, "Then they gathered the kings together to a place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon." Now, Armageddon is symbolic, in a sense, of all of the spiritual conflict that humans have that causes them to hate and war against each other. It's a consequence of our sinfulness. It's inevitable until Christ's return. There have been Christians who have thought that maybe peace on earth will be established as a precursor to the return of Jesus, and most Christians don't think this. It does not seem as though that's going to be the case. The Christian church has been hard at work for a couple thousand years since the ascension of Jesus, and we don't seem any closer to establishing a true peace on earth. So it's not likely that that's going to happen. But it is likely that wars will continue in various spots for various reasons until Christ comes to put an end to all of it. What about this place, Armageddon? What's the story behind this? The one thing you don't want to do is to take the book of Revelation where this is found literalistically. By that I mean, don't think that the images that are presented in the book of Revelation or other books of the Bible that are written in what's called apocalyptic language, that means to make something known, to reveal something. These books are written more like, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way and think it's fictional, that it's just a make-believe story, but they are more like parables of Jesus. They're more like visuals. I liken them to YouTube videos, fantastic creations that the Holy Spirit gave in order to allow people to visualize spiritual truths, but they're not to be taken literalistically. In other words, when there's an image, let's say, of a dragon or of a creature with seven heads and ten horns and things like this, this is not to be taken as though at some point there's literally going to be a beast with seven heads and ten horns and things like this. It's symbolic. And the early Christians had this letter sent to them by John, who about the year 95 AD was a prisoner of the Romans on the island of Patmos. And he sent this letter to be circulated among the churches, and it's full of this fantastical imagery, and I believe the reason why is because the Holy Spirit inspired John to make it seem so wild, so weird, that the Roman guards would say, ah, this is nonsense. He's lost his mind. Send it on to the churches. And so the churches would have been able to interpret it correctly because it very shrewdly portrayed Rome as the enemy of the Christians and as the Lord as winning the spiritual battle. And part of that very vivid description is this final battle at a place called Armageddon. Now, the word Armageddon is actually what's called a transliteration. It's a literal, sort of like letter-to-letter copy of the Hebrew to the Greek, and that's where they get to Armageddon. In the Hebrew, the word is har, which means mound or hill, and Megiddo was the name of a chariot city, probably conquered by King David. It was definitely used by King Solomon, and it was a scene, a place where there had been numerous battles through the years, going back maybe even 5,000 years. So it's a very vivid place, a place where there was a lot of traffic from north to south and east to west that came through that region. It was kind of a choke point for armies that would move back and forth, and big battles were fought there through the ages. So it's symbolic of the battleground, so to speak, the final battle between God and the angels and the saints against the forces of evil, Satan and the demons and the kings of the world, the powers of this world. Now, it's a war that is going to be fought not physically. This is not to be understood as though all the kings of the earth gather into this region. I've been to Megiddo several times. I've seen the plain of Jezreel, which is near Megiddo. And the whole thing is not big enough to fit all these armies. It's not physically large enough to fit all the armies of the world into it. It's symbolic of all the forces of evil under Satan's control against God and his kingdom. For instance, in the book of Revelation, we should be understanding these images in the following way. There's a dragon. The dragon should be seen as Satan. There's a beast. The beast should be interpreted as the Roman Empire. That's the way the first century Christians would have interpreted it. There's a mysterious Gog and Magog in the mix. And this is probably an allusion to the sinful world, the sinful cultures that are against Christ. There's a 1,000-year time period. This is not to be taken literally. It's symbolic of the perfect reign of Christ over his church. Now, some Christians will disagree. Some Christians are going to say, no, it needs to be taken literally. The bottom line is that in this huge battle between God and Satan, between the world and the saints, the Lord wins in the end. All of the chaos, all of the disaster that takes place in the book of Revelation ends up with God's people winning because he has redeemed them, because he has defeated Satan. Of course, the cause for all of this and the victory is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus actually won the war, so to speak, when he was raised from the dead. Satan wanted Jesus done away with. The world wanted Jesus done away with. But as the sinless Son of God, he was not able to be held by death. This is what we are taught in scriptures. And he was raised on the third day, victorious. So now all that follows is after the pivotal moment of Jesus' victory in rising from the dead, and will culminate in the final battle between God and Satan. In the meantime, we have to stay close to the Lord. We want to stick with the winner. We want eternal life. We don't want to go over to wickedness and worldliness and get involved in satanic and evil things. So this battle that's taking place is also one that we have to fight in our hearts. You know, we're sinners. We're tempted by the world. We are lured away by our sinful flesh, and we need to resist this. I hope that you will pray for the Holy Spirit. I hope that you will give your life to Jesus so that you will trust on Him and depend on Him. And in this battle of the sinful flesh against the Spirit of God, this is discussed by Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 7, where he says, I do the things I don't want to do, and instead I cannot do what I want. In this wretched condition, he said, who will deliver me from this body of death? And in Romans chapter 8, he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have redemption. We have forgiveness in Jesus. And we are on the winning side. Nothing can happen in this world that is able to separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. That's the comfort that is taught to us in the Scriptures. And there will be turmoil and wars, just like Jesus discussed. He told the people not to be freaked out, not to be terrorized. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars and famines and plagues. And these things have gone on ever since the day of Jesus, and they will continue until His return. So we keep close to the Good Shepherd, we stay close to the Lord Jesus, and we're not shocked when there's a new war that flares up. You know, there have been a couple of times where humans thought it was the end of the world, world wars, and who knows, we pray not, but there could be another world war at some point. Will that mean it's the end of humanity, the end of the world? Not necessarily. We have to be smart as believers in Jesus, and no matter what the conditions are, know that Christ has won the victory eternally. Regardless of what's going on in the world today or in the future, Christ has won the victory. So we stay close to Him. We know the outcome of the final battle between God and Satan, between good and evil. So stick with the Lord Jesus Christ and trust on Him, and He will deliver you from all of our enemies to save you eternally.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.